I don't know what the feeling is. It's gone from the LIV tournament. It's like a PGA tournament. Those are LIV a little different. In fact, it's broadcast internationally. It's just a huge taking on, and I'm not sure some people realize how huge this is yet. I mean, there are people here today that didn't know the difference between LIV and PGA, and I understand that. Unless you're a golfer, you don't know that. But I watched part of the tournament yesterday on WGN was broadcasting the Australia tournament, and I actually took some pictures and sent it to people. Do you realize that that's what our course is going to look like? They don't build just tents.
Right.
It's almost like permanent structures. And there's more of a, I don't want to say party theme, but it's more about pleasure, and it's a show.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the simple fact that they wear shorts versus slacks. And the shotgun starts, so you can sit in one spot and see everybody in 3.5 hours. You're not there from 9 or 10 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. So there's benefits to what they do. And I'm interested in the way that plays out. 3 days instead of four, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they're out of here. I don't know if the area people realize the impact it's going to be on hotels, shopping, you name it. With you throw 20 to 30,000 people into an area, maybe 40. I'm not saying it could be 40. We're very accessible. I mean, we built Rodeo Drive, and it is Rodeo Drive. We built Rodeo Drive, and I built the location near this interchange because you simply get off, go to the light, turn left, and you can't miss it.
Right.
So it's very accessible, and that's why one of the things when we planned this whole thing, it was in my mind to make it easy to people to find. And if you turn right, it takes you down to our hotels. Now, our hotels won't even start to scratch what they need for this tournament, but they should be happy. I mean, they will fill up, as will restaurants, McDonald's, or whatever. They'll all do very, very well. So it's a huge economic impact. And, of course, everybody has these estimates on what the economic impact is. I mean, I've always found those fascinating over the years, how people calculate those things. In fact, they're going through that now with the Bears Stadium in Chicago.
Right.
It's all guesswork to some extent. But just those people alone, I think a normal citizen can understand. You add 20,000-30,000 people in there, generally in a car, they're going to stop and spend money. On what? Who knows? And it may not just be food and beverage. It could be on other things. Oh, I didn't know they had a Ross here or a Kohl's or you name it. So it's big, and I feel comfortable these people are up for it. I'm not part of it, but I'd like to be.
Is there any particular?
Can
announce the name.
I would like to sit on the Island Green 15. That hole is patterned, and I made sure Archer Hills did this because he gave me some latitude as he was planning it. He had a 590-yard par five. And I said, Archer, nobody will write about a par 590-yard par. They'll write about a 600. Okay, he drug it back. And sure enough, the very first article came out about this course that it even has a 600-yard par 5. So, in the Island Green, like I said, it's patterned precisely after the distance at CPC Sawgrass, number 17, which has made a difference in the results of some tournaments because people get nervous. It's a tough hole.
Right.
But I made it shorter than the 15 so people couldn't say I wasn't warmed up. But the yardage is the same, except ours is a true island. Sawgrass is a peninsula.
Right.
That will be a game changer, and you can watch Chidi Green there. So I'd like to watch Chidi Green.
Is there a certain player on the LIV Golf Tour you'd like to see what they're going to do out here? Is it Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau?
Probably. Well, there's a couple others too, but probably Dustin Johnson because he is so intimidating when he plays, and he's generally expressionless. He's like a machine. And, of course, he pounds that golf ball down the fairway, and you can just tell his mind is calculating, and that's true with all of them for that matter, but his mind is calculating his next shot. And so I'd like to see him off the tee, but I'd also like to see him off the fairway. The chipping and putting is good, but they all do that. And, of course, so he would be one. Koepka, of course, can drive the golf ball a long way. And there's some of our greens they could drive, no question.
What about turning your Island Green into, like, what they did on 17 last year was sort of the real party hole. It was surrounded by hospitality. It was a takeoff on 16.
Phoenix. I would support that. See, that's the one of the reasons for our success, I think, at least while I was mayor, and it seems to continue. You want to have an event here, be it in the building, on a patio, or on a course, whatever. What do you want to do? We'll make it work. We don't have any rules say you can't do this, you can't do that. And I don't mean that we're frivolous. It's just we don't know what makes an event successful to people, and what they think makes it successful is what we're going to try and do for them. So if Liv must turn it into a party hole, which would be a hoot, that would be a hoot. I could get into that.
Adelaide is the great example of that. That's an innovator to me. That would be their most successful thing. If you could duplicate that, that would be awesome.
I actually think the PGA's got to have a second thoughts. Whether a couple years ago they threw beer cups out there and had to delay play for like 15, 20 minutes, clean it up. You know, they got to tone that down a little bit.
And I got hit by a beer.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, so, water bottle.
Yeah, that's
supposed to put the hockey glass up maybe.
Well, you know, I'm not suggesting you don't sell beer there, but at least limit it. You know, like the hockey games, they shut off after the third quarter. And those guys go out there in Phoenix. They get out there at 9 or 10 in the morning, and they all drink all day. So
kind of like the Ryder Cup and
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's unfortunate, but most golf fans are extremely polite and respectful, and you have the guys holding up their arms for silence and so forth. But most fans, they know the game. They're there to appreciate a quality player, and they don't want to screw them up.
Did you go to any of the live Richard?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Well, it's
first time you went in.
Having been to several PGA tournaments, it's a whole different atmosphere, and it's just. It seems bigger. I don't know why. I don't know basis to do that, but it's in your face, big. And I've told people, you look out here right now. I don't want to say it's a carnival because that's not the proper term, but it's going to be with the bleachers, the TV towers, the structures, the tents,
all the sweet stuff around 18.
Yeah. Stuff,
you know? Yeah, they really built up that last 3 years.
And that's an enormous job to put all that together, but they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Roger, when you had the grand opening here in 92, did you ever think, hey, this course someday we're going to have some of the best players in the world out here playing golf in a tournament with serious money on the line?
It was 2022, actually. Or, 2002. But, yes, I did. I felt this had the quality to do that. I know that I picked Archer Hills. I didn't say this today, but we've had people call here and say, I've never played an Archer Hills course. True golfers follow that. So I wanted to appeal to that quality too. And so we've had the Celebrity Players Tour, which had many sports stars who were single-digit handicappers play this course. They all loved it. I had one suggestion one year, and we changed the green to accommodate their suggestion. Made a good point. So we modified that green accordingly. But we've had enough great golfers play here that I knew it was possible. We just had to get in the radar. And by leaving Rich Harvest, that put us in the radar. And I think this might be one of the first public courses they've ever used.
How did you end up getting this event? And all of a sudden, they're not going to Rich Harvest. And how does this whole thing come together? Because it seemed like it came together very quickly.
Probably one of the worst kept secrets, but you really need to direct that question to the mayor, because I'm in the pipeline, but not in that pipeline. But I...
A few months. I guess there was some chatter.
Well, there was... You got to negotiate a contract, and every...
It's a big thing to put together so fast, though. You know that.
Yes, and that attorney right there, Bert Odelson, spent an entire weekend finalizing the contract and submitting it back to Liv and Greg Norman, and it finally got signed, and here we are. But all that, I think we've been on other people's radar because we're willing to help and make them do what they want to do. We don't say you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, as long as you do what you want, restore it after you're done, we don't care.
Well, Kemper Sports has had their big foot in some tournaments in various places, different tours, different events. How helpful were they in actually stepping up here and working with Bolingbrook and Liv and making this thing come together?
I really don't know, but I don't think that much. They were advice as the thing was progressing, but it was more, I mean, the Liv people came out and looked at the course, walked the course. It was in their ballpark at that point, and they had to come to the conclusion themselves, and they were dealing with the mayor's office and the city attorney, and Kemper was filling in the blanks when there were questions. Well, what do you think they want to do here? Their advice came in helpful there, but Kemper's done a great job. Like I said, we interviewed him back in 2001 or 2000. We had brought them in and never looked back.